morning.
Good morning. Would you gather in, please, as we commence our session today? Thank you so much for being prompt. We've enjoyed some wonderful times of opportunity for reflection over these last two or three days, and we'd like to continue that this morning as we commence our fifth session of discussion. We've had one on ecclesiology in session one and looked at what is the church, particularly from a Wesleyan perspective. In session two, we've explored the aspects of church that particularly focused on unity and diversity, and then looked at the topic of the church as mission in mission, and we've explored Wesleyan theology as a practical theology, as well as Wesleyan theology as a holistic theology. And today we want to explore an aspect of Wesleyan theology, that of education, one which many of you are involved in hands-on, and so of a particular relevance to us today. And the question we want to try and engage with is, what is Wesleyan theological education? And those who will help us with that discussion and conversation today will be Matt Price from Benin, Edgar Baldeon from Quito, Ecuador, Julio Detalo from the Philippines, Carol Rotz, who is not here due to illness, but from NNU in the States, Ramon Sierra from Mexico and Central America region, and Dean Blevins from NTS in Kansas City. So we have a very diverse group this morning to help us with our conversation, and we look forward to hearing what they have to say as we commence our discussion. But before we start our conversation this morning, Dean's going to show us a little bit about the basis for this conversation, if you would, please.
Okay. Thank you, Bruce. A little bit of background on the papers for this section and how they came into being. When the planning committee got together, the original hope was that the papers on Tuesday would begin to model to some degree what we've had going on in our small groups, in our informal gatherings, and that of the idea of an ongoing conversation. The committee included myself, Rubain Fernandez, John Haynes, Ken Walker, Vern Ward, and Bob Woodruff. And as we envisioned what the papers would look like, particularly for today, we really wanted them to be conversation pieces. And so there were major people assigned to write, or people assigned to write the papers, but then they were invited to collaborate with someone from another world region in the development of that paper. Sometimes people they knew, sometimes people they had never met before until they met with each other online, as the case with Matt and Edgar. The papers then were, for some, it was co-written. Others, it was sort of constructed, where maybe the major writer put together the majority of the paper, but the conversation partner contributed sections to that. In other situations, they were merely commented upon, so that each paper would come not just out of one voice, but at least out of two voices from two different global perspectives. I think, just to let you know, that was the dream. The reality was that faculty, as we all can relate to, have rather busy lives and schedules, and so the levels of collaboration change from paper to paper, sometimes due to the fact that, some professors, much like their students, take a lot of time to work on something and have this real gift of waiting till the last moment to make sure everything's in. Sometimes it was due to really physical issues. This afternoon, the papers that you'll hear this afternoon were constructed the same way, and a good example is Federico Melendez, who had gone through an accident and was actually recovering physically, at the same time committed to writing the paper. So just to let you know that each one of these papers really do, though, embody a desire to see that future writing, future conversations always occur across our international settings. And that's just a way to kind of help you understand what's going on in both the morning and the afternoon sessions from the writings themselves.
Bruce. Okay, thank you, Dean. I appreciate that. Now, there are two areas that I'd like us to engage in this morning, if we can, for a few moments. The first is to conceptualise an understanding of what Wesleyan theological education is. Is there something by definition that sets Wesleyan education apart from other education? And what does that really mean? So come to some understanding of that. And the second area is to seek to find some implications of that. You know, for instance, our pedagogy, is it to be congruent with our definition and our conceptual basis? What might that look like? Could our theological underpinnings be eroded by ill-conceived pedagogy, for instance? So with that in mind, I'd like to perhaps start by asking each member of the group here to maybe address the issue of what is Wesleyan theological education, and from there we can bounce off ideas and we can start the conversation. So we want to start the other end, Julie? Well, he's just already spoken. Why don't you start the process, Julie? Ladies first. Start? Thank you, Julie. It's on.
Wesleyan theological education, of course, I have to speak from the context that I come from. I believe Wesleyan theological education is a developing education. By that, I mean that a trend in theological education may have to be embraced, but sensitive to the end result of that. In the context that I come from, theological education has changed tremendously from not just ministerial training of students who profess to have received the call from the Lord, but it has even expanded to an earlier education, early childhood education. The Bible college that I represent has started as a purely Bible college, purely ministerial training institution, but now it's a completely different institution embracing early theological education. In other words, there is a growing recognition of the need to start Christian education earlier than the college level education, where we prepare ministers to lead our churches. Early education is now becoming to be a preparatory ground for ministerial training education of future leaders of our church. And maybe I can elaborate on that later, but that's the way I perceive theological education in the Wesleyan perspective, and with a changing trend sensitive to the demands of the time. And I see it as a very prolific endeavor to make a harvest of future ministers of the gospel. It is not that easy to just begin with college students not having been prepared to come for ministerial training. But we see the preparation starting early, where our local churches, for example in the Philippines, are now into preschool, elementary, high school education. And because of the grounding and the founding of these young age group with the Word of God, there is a better preparation for ministry as they come to our ministerial training college level institution.
Okay, thanks, Julie. Edgar.
Morning. Okay, the question is, what is the Wesleyan theological education? And I have an answer for this question, very broad, general, but to understand it fully, I think we have to consider first two presuppositions before we give an answer to this question. The first presupposition is that there is a church with a Wesleyan theology, which, by the way, is the result of the movement of God to save people and to transform societies. We cannot separate education from the mission of the church or from the church itself, because education doesn't stand by itself. It's an ultimate stage, a servant of the church. So that's the first presupposition I would like you to have in mind. The other presupposition is that Wesleyan theological education is not defined by the specific system of education. We have to go a little broader to this concept. So we have to break, for a moment at least, establish settings, establish curriculum, all that we know that goes around an educational formal program. I think that if education is related to the church, the church must see or should see itself as the responsible for all education. So education functions in all levels in the church. So we are talking not only of the higher system education, or we are talking about preaching, we are talking about Sunday school classes, we are talking even about what happens in the family. And so because all of these segments of the church are involved in what I consider is something related with the theological education. So keep in mind those presuppositions and to hear now my answer to the question. I think that Wesleyan theological education is that part of the church devoted to facilitate the continuation of this church with the Wesleyan theology and to help this church to the fulfillment of its mission. And that may mean that maybe we will be talking about keeping the heritage of Wesleyanism. That may mean that maybe we will have to enrich our heritage. When we are confronted with different contexts and in the confrontation, we can use our theology to address new issues that come, so our heritage gets richer. And of course, this kind of instrument that is the Wesleyan theological education for the church is evident, or you can see the evidence of this instrument when we consider some elements of education that are very common, as values and objectives, curriculum, participants, procedures, processes, and we can see this part of the church doing its work in every of these items that I have mentioned. So Wesleyan theological education for me is a servant of the church. It's an instrument to help the movement to continue.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Matt.
I want to speak from my context as well, but I can't really figure out what that is. maybe it comes from, you know, not being a Christian until I was a youth and being drawn to Christ during that time. And I guess for me, theological education began and still continues in relationship. And that's very foundational for me. I've been influenced more by people than I have by even ideas or books or even where I've been, I think. It's just the people I've known. That's key. I think, too, for me, when I approach theological education, I do so as one who's been enamored by liberal arts. But I think I've grown up a little bit enough to know that liberal arts are classically Western in their origin. But the idea of this kind of liberal arts is it's not limited to that segment of history or the population of the world, but it's broader than that. And so that's why I think to identify wisdom as a basis for Wesleyan theological education is very important. It opens up more sources for us to approach the task of theological education. And I think John Wesley would appreciate that. And I don't know if he would appreciate so much that we just take classical Wesleyanism as the content without looking back to the last two centuries, without recognizing the context that we live and work in that are very much different than 18th century England. And so when I think of theological education that's Wesleyan, and I'm not sure how much I would call it Wesleyan. Or at least, I don't think I can use some of the same terms. And so that's really, I'm kind of still formulating things in my mind, but that's really the basis. And I think theological, and I'm encouraged to hear this the ideas of beginning early. And I think that's very Wesleyan. To begin early and to see people raised up as Christian. In fact, in French, you really can't use the word education for adults. It's education is for children. And I think as Wesleyan, we need to continue to use that word all throughout our lives. We're continually growing and learning and knowing more. And so when I think of Wesleyan education, theological education, that's kind of what forms the basis of what I'm thinking. But I hope as part of this conversation, I don't stop there.
Thank you.
As you can tell, we don't know what Wesleyan theological education is. And so I'm going to add to our ignorance. At least we know we don't know. When I hear that term, that long term, Wesleyan theological education, having been involved in education for some years now, I often think, isn't that what we're doing? I mean, why should we be talking about this? We're doing it. Aren't we teaching the basic principles that Wesley taught during his ministry and that have shaped us or should be shaping us? As a church, don't we want our people to be involved in ministry with that focus? Many questions come to mind, very few answers really, but when I think about Wesleyan theological education, and there's a lot of things, a lot of ramifications to that question, I think more about a model more than just content, more than just things that we take. When we talk about Wesley, I think each one of us is very selective in what we take from Wesley and we take to our endeavors as educators, as preachers, as administrators, and we all believe we're very Wesleyan. So the model, I want to go back to that. It is a model that we have received, but it is a model that also needs to be contextualized also to our times and also to our different contexts, our multi-contextual reality as a church. And so it is a model, and I want to really bring us back to the fact that I perceive Wesley's model as a model that is rooted in discipleship. And that is why we have tried to show through the paper that we, that Dean and I wrote, or Dean wrote.
And Ramon kept me honest.
With a little bit of my help.
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
It is a model. It is a model. And there, we can describe different elements of that model, but the heart of that model is, and what we find that is, I don't know, distinctive or unique or that calls our attention from Wesley's model, different from the church in his time, the official church, was that God put in his heart that it was not enough just to proclaim the gospel and to have people respond to the gospel. And somehow God helped him to understand that he needed to do initial discipleship, lifelong discipleship, intentional discipleship, and help them to grow and develop and become the lay leaders of that movement. Very different from others in his times that were evangelizing, that were preaching, that were maybe better preachers than himself, but God helped them develop a system, a model that I think needs not only to be placed in our local churches, but everything that we do as a church. If the mission of the church is to make disciples, everything that we do in the church, including theological education, needs to be focused in on making disciples of all nations. And so when I see the Wesleyan perspective, when I think about Wesleyan theological education, I think about we need to return to that model. We need to return to that model that Wesley has provided for us, that is part of our heritage, besides the fact that it's biblical. That's really the basis. Do theological education other ways. We have transcribed models in our educational systems that are good, but do not reflect totally our heritage. They're very academic sometimes. Sometimes they're so practical, there's no theoretical basis. And I think that Wesley's model, which is very also common of Wesleyanism, is the middle of the road where we can not ignore academics, not ignore practice, not ignore our theology, not ignore ministry, but go back to the heart of what really was the main contribution of Wesley to us as Wesleyans, as people that are part of the Wesleyan movement, and to the church at large. So it is a model that we need to use and that we need to refocus. We need to, based on that model, we need to refocus what a teacher is, what a professor is, what a course is, what an institution is, and also how we can help the church have the type of leaders and pastors that it needs to carry out its mission, because we are contributing intentionally, directly, intensely to that endeavor as we help people go through the educational process that is also lifelong. So it is, for me, a model.
Actually, remember what I asked at dinner last night about how do you know you've made a disciple? How did you respond to that? I loved your response. I think we see it in the local church. How will they know that you are my disciples? Jesus said. How do we teach that? To love one another.
Well, and here we have to put two things together in tension, as also we have tried to share, that Wesley did. Knowledge and piety. Love and also love and learning together. They go together. In the Wesleyan context, they cannot be divorced. They cannot be separated. We need to do both. The local church is the setting where things happen, but outside of the local church, we can contribute through our educational system, through focusing. More than we are doing a lot of good things, but sometimes they're not being focused. And focusing them and really coming along and contributing with the local church so that person can learn, can have more knowledge, can also incarnate the gospel, and can live his life as a follower of Christ. And I, as a professor also, I am in that process as well. And so are we as educators and all of the people, all of us that are part of the church.
Thank you for that.
Well, when Bruce asked us this last night, we talked a little bit at dinner time, which was, it seems to be the Nazarene way. It's great to have table conversations over food. And I thought about a definition, not the definition, because I kind of agree with Ramon that we're still working at this. It struck me that, at least consistent with the paper, is it is the revelation, the understanding, and the expression of truth and love. Not that we really can define truth and love that neatly, but that we receive that from God, both the understanding of what is truth and the nature of love comes out of God, expressed in Jesus and really manifested through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that it happens when we try to shape faithful Christians and we guide them in discernment and we empower them for transformative acts. Now, that's a simple definition. It's not the only one. The thing that I heard here that I think is important, and Ramon started this actually in the writing of kind of keeping me focused on the role of discipleship and kind of kept me honest to that. And, you know, I hear Edgar's desire to make sure this is not something that's just in higher education. It's a part of the total life of the church. And it involves the totality of wisdom and breadth, and it involves the totality of human life. In some ways, what is Wesleyan comes out of that kind of conversation, sharing of definitions, I think is the first and foremost thing that goes on.
Now, before we ask this question, we also have to ask ourselves the question, are we really committed to Wesleyan theological education? We have conversed during these days, and we have talked about things that in some parts of the world it's more difficult to implement. We talk about infant baptism, and some people say, well, that might be Wesleyan, but we're not going to do it. We talk about the Lord's table as a converting grace, where the grace of God also can help somebody get to know Christ or get closer to Christ. And some of us say, well, I haven't heard that before, or I've heard it before, but we're not going to do that in our church in Guatemala, you see? And so sometimes we're digging out things that maybe we're trying to rediscover, but when we rediscover them, we reject them because we're not really committed to being Wesleyan. Or how can that be contextualized? We have to go deeper. So I'm saying, do we really want to know what Wesleyan theological education is because we want to do it, or we want to also say, no, that's a nice thing, but we'll let the people in Europe or in England or in North America do that.
I think that
it'll make them happy.
So how committed are we to really understanding, being, and also contextualizing, as far as place and time, what Wesleyan theological education is going to look like in our different settings, and how can we live comfortably with different focuses, although it might be Wesleyan the same, but in our different parts of the world.
I think that maybe we are trying to characterize what Wesleyan theological education is in every detail, we will be lost, because we need to be open to different ways of seeing it. And when you say that in some churches we won't be totally committed to this model, it's because maybe we are focusing more in an ancient model rather than in what the church must be linked to, which is the scripture and the real movement and the spirit of the movement. So if we don't consider that, for example, baptizing infants is going to help to the movement, to the big purposes of the movement, so we will reject it. The thing here is to what must our loyalty must be linked to first? What's the priority in our loyalties? So it is not to be attached to a movement in, that in history was incredible, but we have to see far beyond to scriptures and what God is doing. So in that way, we not only get stuck with something that happened in the past, but we are open to new things coming up because of whatever thing we are confronting in different contexts. I don't think that we have to be linked to something that happened in the past or a specific model in one context. I think we have to think a little broader, think that God made something wonderful through this movement, and we have to keep it. And Wesleyan theological education must be an instrument to continue the movement, not exactly in the way it happened in the past, but open to new things, also keeping those things that are important to continue with the movement.
Julie, you just mentioned a phrase that really caught my attention, linked what we're doing, linked to the realities that we're in. And you mentioned something about credibility in your paper. What keeps us credible? What keeps what we're doing credible? Not only with people that we're working for, you know, the movement, but also those outside the movement that have yet to come in. How do we stay credible?
I think the concept of credibility in what I have expressed in my paper really is wanting to focus on the divine and the human aspects of theological education. I think the truth and the person are two important elements in Wesleyan theological education. We cannot undermine the power of God at work in the life of a person or persons, regardless of where they're coming from and what kind of experience they are in. On the other hand, to us who have been through the transformation process because of God working in our lives, we have the responsibility to be faithful to the stewardship that God has put into our hands and impressed upon our hearts, that we cannot just take for granted the stewardship that God expects of us. So the truth and the person are two important elements in that. But I also believe that in Wesley's perspective, the church and the educational entity, this institution, have to come to a marital agreement. We cannot detach theological institutions from the church. Neither can we say that the church overrules theological institutions. There's got to be that marriage between the two. So, because people are different and people are in the process of becoming, theological education has to be in the process of developing. And who knows? Who knows what God has in mind to do, when and what and how in the life of the person? But the important thing is the church that has been entrusted with the stewardship of protecting and proclaiming the truth. We have in our hands the responsibility to be faithful to the stewardship of that truth, so that its power to transform lives can become a reality and therefore fulfill God's mission in the life of...
One of the coolest things I thought when I read your papers was how we were all kind of thinking and saying some of the same things without knowing it, and we're coming from completely different contexts. And I have yet to hear us define Wesleyan theological education by attaching it to an institution. And I think that is huge. You know, primarily education is immensely and primarily personal. And I keep hearing that, and I'm hearing it through other people as I'm talking around this week, and I think Steve McCormick helped us by kind of massaging that metaphor again for us and nurturing it out of our tradition, that who we are as a holiness people, we're living and breathing. But it's not our own breath. We're being drawn up into God and then expelled out into the world. And I think unless we, and I, maybe theological education has to take us to that next step where we just don't interact with ourselves, but with others. And I think we heard that from some of our Asian brothers this week. How do we engage publicly? And I think that's really key to who we are. I mentioned to our small group yesterday, I said sometimes I think people come to meetings like this with an agenda, you know, maybe to revolutionize the church. When I think, no matter kind of where we stand on particular issues, theologically, practically, organizationally, God has brought us into the Church of the Nazarene to revolutionize the world. To engage the world. And, you know, I think that's really what we are called to do.
You called me turned off, you say. It's a God thing.
This, like, double-barreled whatever. But I think that's really, you know, what we're called to do. And you know, I think this time around, in terms of the theology conference, we're seeing, you know, the focus being, you know, why aren't you doing what I'm doing? To, you know, what are you doing, and how can I join you? And we're looking outward, kind of that illustration Anna Marie showed us Sunday night. And I think that's very, very, very powerful. And it was, for me, it was an image, I think, that I'll probably one of the primary things I'll take away from this conference.
Yeah.